As we prepare for our scripture reading, we will be singing the song that's printed in your bulletin. It's a short song. It's from the Taizé community in France, and Jennifer will be singing a first portion after our prayer, and then we will each sing a portion after each reading. So that way we kind of know how it goes. I think it's an opportunity for us to take a deep breath in between our readings to clear our minds so that we can listen to these scripture readings, allowing God to speak to us in new ways, allowing the music to center us after each reading. Let's pray. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our first reading is from Joel chapter 2. Let us listen to the word of God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishment. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the people, where is their God?
Stay with me, remain here with me.
Our next reading from 2 Corinthians 5:20b through 6:10. Let's listen to the word of God. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain, for he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you." See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. The word of God for the people of God. In our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I've heard a few around here wonder why Presbyterians do Ash Wednesday. That was only a Catholic thing, they tell me. I was a bit surprised to hear this since my Presbyterian church always did it when I was growing up, and I've been getting ashes on my forehead since I was little. We talked about it in seminary, and every church I've led has had it. So I guess I just assumed all Presbyterians did it. So when I heard this is a newish thing for our church, I did a little research. According to the magazine Presbyterian Outlook, in the mid-1980s, Presbyterians started practicing Lenten rituals. Now, Presbyterians have a broader understanding of the liturgical traditions of Holy Week and Lent. We talk of preparation and spiritual discipline. We talk about mirroring Jesus' 40 days of prayer and temptation in the desert. Oftentimes during Lent, people either give something up, they fast, or others add a spiritual discipline. Some things people fast are chocolate or television or beer, while others add prayer, reading scripture, or having a good deed each day. Essentially, these disciplines are to lead us closer to God. But these 40 days to the cross shouldn't be like a diet, because according to our scripture reading, it doesn't lead to lasting change. Ash Wednesday means something different to everyone. But for me, it's about living into and accepting our humanness. I'm not God. I won't live forever, and I mess up. It's important to accept our limitations, our failures, our imperfections. It's essential to understand our frailty, that eventually we'll die. If we recognize this, then we recognize our need for a Savior, one who can give us life, one who provides forgiveness and grace. That's what the ashes mean to me. And because of this, Ash Wednesday and Lent should lead us to something much bigger than a diet plan, to lifestyle change. Now, a diet basically only leads to minor changes. The discipline of fasting isn't intended to change the outward. We read again and again in Scripture that the discipline of fasting is more about the inward. It's about our heart. It's not focused on outward appearances. It's not about sounding or looking more faithful in front of others. Now, I'm really excited about a series I'm leading on Wednesday starting next week. It's about discovering our gifts. And one of the many assessments we'll be taking, some of you have taken it, is the Myers-Briggs personality test. My wife, Siobhan, is a strong J. J or judging. It prefers a more structured and decided lifestyle. So Siobhan loves lists and organizing and making priorities. She even makes lists of lists. It's impressive. And I'm a mid-ranged P, or perceiving, more flexible and adaptable lifestyle, so I essentially drive Siobhan crazy. Yet beyond just a personality test, I since have discovered that I have adult ADD, which means that I get distracted very easily. So this is what happens when our family gets ready for a long trip. The day of, Siobhan's mostly all ready, mostly packed, and has a typed out checklist of all the items she's already done, and then just a few more to do that morning. It even has things like stop the mail and turn down the water heater. I have no plan. So I asked Siobhan what I should do first. When we're just about ready to go, she says, "Put the suitcases in the car." On my way to the suitcase, I see something that I've been meaning to do for a long time. I pass Siobhan, telling her not to worry, I'll get to the suitcases. And after a few distractions, I finally get the suitcases in and ask her what to do next. Get the kids in the car, she says. After a few distractions, I finally get the kids in the car. Needless to say, Siobhan deals with me and my flighty behavior. Squirrel. It describes me to a T. We even joke about it now, but for so long, I've struggled with not measuring up with not being able to do something so simple to so many, like getting ready for a trip. It's even hard for me to read books because I have to focus so much. It's amazing that I got a master's degree because we had hundreds of pages of reading each week. Certainly, there are wonderful things about having ADD. I notice things that others don't. I'm very personable. I'm creative, and certainly I've learned to adjust, but I still struggle with what many people with ADD struggle with, feelings of shame and frustration. Not only do I let myself down, but I know it's not easy for Siobhan or my family. And yet, each of us here have imperfections, things we struggle with, things we could change about ourselves, things we would rather be or rather not have. And yet today on Ash Wednesday, somehow, with the ashes on our head, we claim these imperfections. We live into our humanness. We give thanks to God for loving us just the way we are. And we strive to live as God desires. God tells us clearly in Scripture how to live, how to live into our humanness, how to live into our imperfections, and clearly says that it's not about our appearances. It's about choosing a fast that God desires. Joel says, "Return to me with all your heart. Rend your hearts." Not your clothing. 2 Corinthians says to commend yourselves in every way with great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech. Isaiah says, such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is not this the fast that I choose, to lose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? The fast God desires of us is not a diet, not one just lasting 40 days, but it's a lifestyle change. And God's not focused on the outward, but rather the inward. God loves us, faults and all. And listen to what God's calling you to do. The fast that God chooses for you is to give your hearts to God, to accept our limitations and our struggles, to not be ashamed. That's what this ash means. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us turn to God in prayer. God of holiness, your day comes near and we tremble, not out of fear, but from awe and gratitude. For on your day we are fully known, completely restored, reconciled to you forever. Jesus Christ, grace bearer, as we come to your fast, may we be filled with your hope as we receive your gifts. May our hearts be open to others as we begin our journey with you. May we put no roadblocks in the path to Jerusalem. Holy Spirit, creator of clean hearts, as water rushes into an empty hole, may your sacramental silence fill the emptiness of our souls. God in community, holy in one, our treasure, our hope, our joy, hear us as we pray, as Christ taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In just a moment, I will invite you to come forward, starting with our first rows. I encourage you to come down the center aisles and then return back to your seat using the side aisles. I will place ash on your forehead in the shape of a cross. If you prefer not to receive ash, please just bow your head and I will give you a blessing. Our ancestors in the faith used ash as a sign of repentance, a symbol of the uncertainty and fragility of human life. Like them, we have tasted the ash of hopelessness. We have walked through the ash of loss and pain. We have stood knee-deep in the ash of brokenness. Let us pray. God of our lives, out of the dust of creation, you have formed us and given us life. May these ashes not only be a sign of our repentance and death, but reminders that by your gift of grace in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, we are granted life forever with you. Amen.